John asked the question. He says, who is he? Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that hath the victory? Who is he who hath been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Who is he who hath eternal life and deliverance from all condemnation? Who is he who can say, God is with me? Who can condemn me? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who is he that shall stand in the holy place? He gives the answer. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's who he is. You see, faith is the victory. This is what Peter said when he summed it up over in the 6th chapter of John. Turn over there. When our Lord had preached to that great multitude, the same multitude which he fed, and of whom it is said in verse 66, they went back and walked no more with him. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his followers went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, would you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, listen, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, and we're sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, of whom every prophet wrote, for whom every believer looked. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's it. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus Christ is verily God Almighty in human flesh. You see, faith is the victory. This is the victory, even our faith. Seeing the Son robed in human flesh, seeing the Son bearing our sins in his body on the tree. Seeing the Son risen triumphant over sin, over hell, and over the grave. Seeing the Son exalted at the right hand of the Father, seated in victory, the forerunner having entered in within the veil, taken possession, the Lord of hosts, believing the Son, his person, his work, every promise of God in him, yes and amen, receiving the Son, bowing to his lordship, trusting his blood, resting in his righteousness, and waiting his return. Turn to John 3 and listen to John speak to us. In John chapter 3, beginning with verse 30, this is John the Baptist, the forerunner, the last of the Old Testament prophets, the one who came bearing witness to the Christ. He said in verse 30 of John 3, he must increase, I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy. That's me. That's you. And speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man, unfortunately, no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received the testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure to the Christ. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And he, who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that hath the victory? Who is he that shall ascend and stand in that holy place? He that believeth. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, he's the issue. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He's the issue. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Our Lord said to the disciples before he went to the cross to suffer and die, and they were so troubled and depressed. They didn't understand all of this. And he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. They believed in God. They were men who believed in God. He said, you believe in God. Now believe in me. Believe in me. God sent me. I'm the Son of God. I'm the exact image of God. I'm a revelation of God in human flesh. Believe me. You see, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Now, if that were not so, I would have told you. And I've come and I go. I've come into this world. I came from the Father into the world. I'm going back to the Father. And I've come to prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He said, Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Adam lost three things in that garden. When he fell, when he sinned, he lost three things. He lost life. God said, when you eat of the fruit, you die. He died. Spiritually, he died. He lost his life, spiritual life. He lost the truth. He believed Satan's lies and rejected God's truth. He lost the truth. And he lost the way to God. God put him out. Put him out of the garden and put the flaming sword before the garden lest he come back to the tree of life. He lost the way to God. He lost the truth. He lost his life. And Christ came, and he said, I'm the way, back to God. You'll come back to God, I'm the way. I didn't come just to make a way, I am the way. I'm the way. And I'm the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? He said, I'm truth. He's the wisdom of God. I'm the truth. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son reveals him. If the Son will make you free, you'll be free. The truth will make you free. You're free indeed. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life, everlasting life. And that's what spiritual life is, you see. Eternal life's not how long it's going to last. That's not what it is. Eternal life's the quality of it. Spirituality of it. It's the life which Adam lost. The life of God. Adam retained physical life, human life, natural life, but he lost spiritual life. That's the reason Christ said you must be born again. And he that believeth on the Son hath life. So that's the answer to that question. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that hath the victory? Who is he that hath the way back to God, the truth, the life? It's he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's who he is. Who is this Jesus Christ? Verse 6, well, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only. That's the way the priests came in the Old Testament. They came with water and the blood of an animal, not with their blood. He came with water and blood. Water and blood. Watch that over here in John 19. Would you turn over there a minute? See if I can make good on this. John 19. John 19, verse 34. Verse 33. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead, our Lord died. He gave up the ghost. No man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It's finished. He died. He died. They break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. Why is this reference here? This is he that came by water and blood. Not water only, but by water and blood. Well, in the Old Testament, which are figures and pictures and patterns of Christ's redemption, patterns of things which are in the heavens. You had the Old Testament priesthood. You had the tabernacle, the sacrifices. You had the mercy seat. You had the holy days. And all these are pictures of Christ. And in the Old Testament, in all of these ceremonies, Mosaic economy under the Levitical law. Two prominent things. You know what they were? Two prominent things. Water and blood. Everywhere there was water. Pure water. You see, out here in the courtyard was the altar. That's where the lambs were slain. But when that priest came across that courtyard, there was a laver of pure water. And that's where he washed before he went into the presence of God. He went into the presence of God with the blood, but he always washed and washed and washed and washed, you see, by pure water. The filth is washed away so that men can come before God pure and clean. Pure and clean. That's a picture. And he would take the blood. By the blood, satisfaction is made. And men would come before God, reconciled, justified. Now, this was all in picture in the Old Testament. The Old Testament priest representing the people. He'd come, but he'd wash his clothes, he'd wash his flesh, he'd wash his hands, he'd wash his feet. Always before he went into the presence of God, there were baptisms and washings that he might come sanctified. Clean. And when he'd go into the presence of God, he'd never go without blood. the death of the animal and the blood to justify him. Sanctify him, justify him. Our Lord Jesus Christ came by water and blood. And he goes into the presence of God as our high priest and takes us. And by his obedience and righteousness, we are sanctified. And by his blood, we're justified. Turn to 1 Corinthians, and let me show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. By pure water, we come before God clean and sanctified. By blood, we come before God justified. And the whole perfection of sanctification and the whole accomplishment is just of justification is fulfilled in this person who came by water and blood. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of God, of him, of God, are you believers in Christ Jesus. God put you there. God put you there. And who God made Christ, who of God are you in Christ, and of God Christ is made unto us wisdom, truth, righteousness, holiness, sanctification, perfection, redemption, accepted, justified. It's in him. Go back to my text, 1 John. Who is he that overcometh, has the victory? He that hath Christ, believes on Christ, believes he's the Son of God. Who's the Son of God? He that came by water and blood. Not by water only, not by righteousness only. Christ not only had to obey the law, he had to die. It must be blood. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The soul that sinneth must die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so Christ, in order to sanctify us, perfectly obeyed the law. In order to justify us, he shed his blood. And it says, and it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit is who's writing this and bearing witness that this is true. Turn over, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. This is what the Spirit of God says about our Lord. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, verse 12, listen. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, that word is sufficient, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's where it is. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to that fact. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. All right, back to the text. In verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, bear record to this fact, who Christ is, what Christ did, why he did it, where he is now. There are three in heaven that bear witness to this record. It's the Father, the Word, that's the Son. Why is the Son called the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why is Jesus Christ called the Word? Because he's the communication, the revelation, the manifestation of the heart of God. What are words? Words communicate thoughts, feelings, ideas. I stand before you tonight, and you don't know what's going on in me, what I'm thinking, what I believe, what I've been taught, unless I tell you. How do I tell you? Words. Words. God. What is God's purpose? What is God's will? What is God planned? What does God have for us? How does God convey it to us? How does God make known himself to us? Words. The Word. The Word of God is Christ. And he said, I'm come that you might know him. He speaks. God spoke to us by his Son. That's why he's called the Word. So there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I can't explain the Trinity. I know the Scripture teaches the Trinity. Back yonder in the beginning, when before the morning stars sang together, before the sons of God existed, God said, let us make man. Who's us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He said often to his prophets, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The Father's not the Son. The Son's not the Father. But we call God the Eternal Father, don't we? I remember that old Navy hymn. When I was in the Navy, we'd sing this every Lord's Day. The Navy, Eternal Father, strong to save, who guides and keeps those upon the waves. God can't be an eternal father unless he's got an eternal son. Isn't that right? He's the eternal father. The son is eternal. Eternal father, eternal son. That's right. The three that bear record in heaven. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. And I'll show you the presence here of the Trinity. Yet they're one. He that hath the Father hath the Son. And it says here in verse 16 of Matthew 3, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Son. From heaven in the form of a dove. As God told John the Baptist, upon whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove. The Spirit of God came. I read you that he hath the Spirit without measure. And then the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I can't understand the Trinity. I can't explain the Trinity. But I'd be a fool to deny the Trinity because I can't explain it, when the Word teaches it all the way through. Our Lord said to the disciples, Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And our Lord said to his disciples, I'm going away, but if I go away, I'll send you another comforter. Listen. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will send you the Spirit. So let's wait till we get to glory and find out the answers. All right. Let's just receive it like it's written. You see, faith doesn't ask God to explain everything because we don't have the capacity to comprehend everything. Martin Luther said one time, one thing I don't need is a God I can understand, because he'd have to be like me. And I don't want a God like me. So there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three agree in one. They are one. They are one. Now look at verse 8. And there are three that bear witness. Bear witness of what? Of who Christ is. That's what we're bearing witness of. The heavens. Who is he that overcometh? He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And there are three that bear record in heaven to this fact. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And there are three on earth that bear witness to this fact. And that is the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 16. The Holy Spirit. What is the office and mission of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's see here. John 16. Verse 7. I quoted this a minute ago. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Christ said. John 16, 7. It's expedient, absolutely necessary for you that I go away. Have to go to the cross. Have to die. Have to ascend as your high priest. Have to intercede. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. And if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he's come, he will reprove, convict, convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, I have yet many things to say to you. You cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. The Holy Spirit, his divine office and work is to glorify Christ, bear witness to the person and work of Christ Jesus. The three that bear record on earth, the Spirit, or who's the second? And the water, in this case, that's the Word of God. The Word of God, the written Word, and the blood. And that blood is the blood of his cross. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and preaches to us the efficacy of the cross, the sufficiency of the cross. And these three agree in one. Same message. Christ and him crucified. Now then, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, if we receive the witness of men, and we do, but the witness of God is greater. The Word of God is greater, and this is the witness of God. This is the testimony of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Listen. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, my friends, we've talked about the witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. All bear witness who Christ is, why Christ came, what Christ did, and where Christ is now. Our substitute, our surety, our justifier. We talked about the witnesses on earth, the Holy Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, taking the Word of God, bears witness of Christ, and the blood, the cross, that's a witness. And I tell you this, we've just finished a year. The whole world knows about the cross. It's no fable, it's no myth, it's a fact. We've just closed out a year, 1996. What's those two letters that follow that date? A.D. A.D.? Yeah. What is the other years? Well, there's the year of 2 B.C. 10 B.C. 1000 B.C. What's that? B.C. and A.D. B.C. is before Christ. Isn't that what it is? The whole world measured time by that cross. The whole world measured and has measured time by that event. Took place outside Jerusalem 1997 years ago. B.C. before Christ. 1997 A.D. Anno Domini. In the year of our Lord. Whether men like it or not, they're in the year of our Lord. Whether they believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But we're in the year of our Lord. And that's the witness, the Spirit, the Word, and the cross. And then there's the witness of men and the witness of God. But listen to verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In himself. What can you do with that, Pastor? All right. I'll see what I can do with that. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Down there in the far country, he took what the father had for him and left home. Went down into the foreign country. I don't know how long he was there. Long time, I'm sure. Wasted it. Righteous living. Filthy living. He lost all he had. He was living in a hog pen, eating what the hogs left, the husk, whatever he could find, broke and hungry and homesick and weary. Suppose someone had come to him and said to him while he was down there in that hog pen, your father doesn't love you anymore. Your father is angry with you. And your father's disowned you and disinherited you. And there's nothing for you anymore in this world. He probably would have said, you're right. You're right. But suppose after he came home and the father standing there in the window looking out and saw that ragged, weary, dirty figure coming over the hill and realized it was his son. And the father ran to meet him and threw his arms around him and kissed that old dirty cheek and said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put the ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and kill the fatted calf. My son, whom I love, is home. And he cleans up and sits down at that big table. And the father's so happy. And he's still sitting there with his arm around him. Everybody's rejoicing. The father's whispering in his ear his love and grace and mercy. Suppose someone came up and said to him, then, your father doesn't love you anymore. Your father's disowned you. Your father's disinherited you. There's nothing for you in this world. Are you a fool? Are you a total fool? Can you deny the evidence here? Here's the evidence of my father's love. Here's the proof of my father's love. I've got it! And no one can convince me otherwise. And that's what this is saying. With all the witnesses in heaven and earth and the Word and the Spirit and the blood and all these things, I believe and I receive. But the chief witness, too, is in my heart. He's manifested His grace to me and His love to me, and I have that undeniable witness that He loves me. I have the witness in myself. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory.
All right. He that believeth not hath made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. That man or that woman who does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and does not trust him and does not rest in him, he's made God a liar, because he won't believe the word, the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, this is the record, this is the witness, this is the message that God has given to us. He's given it to us. He's not sold it to us or loaned it to us. He's given to us eternal life. This life's in his Son. This life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that believes on the Son of God hath life. He that trusts and rests in the Son of God hath life. Now, not going to have life. He has life. He's passed from death unto life. He now has life. Now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but this we know, when he shall appear, we'll see him like he is, and we'll be like him. But we have the witness in ourselves. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And he that hath not the Son, whatever he has, doesn't have life. A young lady one time became interested in spiritual matters, and she began to ask different people how a person is saved, how a person is redeemed. And one person said, well, you go home and pray. And she tried that, and then she went to another and asked them how she could come to know God. And they said, well, go talk to the preacher. She tried that. And she asked another one, same question. And they replied, well, join the church and be baptized. Well, my friend, this is not what Paul told the jailer, is it? You know, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul, he said, sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved, to know God? And Paul replied, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Believe that he loved us and gave himself for us. Believe that of God are you in Christ, who's made unto us all that we need. Believe. Believe. He must save. He can save. He will save. I never direct a convicted sinner to anybody but to Christ. The Bible doesn't say he that prayeth shall be saved. It says he that hath the Son hath life. The Bible doesn't say he that shall be is baptized shall have life. It says he that hath the Son hath life. The Bible doesn't say he that joins the church shall be saved. It says he that believes on the Son of God. Verse 13. Well, John said, these things then have I written to you. To you that believe on the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may keep on believing on Christ. Don't try anyone else or anything else. Believe. Believe who he is. Believe what he did. Believe that it's effectual. It's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His blood is sufficient. His righteousness is sufficient. Believe where he is now, at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's where he has to be, with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. Trust him. Rest in him. He that hath the Son hath life. That thief on the cross. Who was he? He was a thief. Nothing to recommend him. He was an outcast that the outcast cast out. He was a nobody, a nothing, only fit to die. But God revealed something to that man. The other thief cursed, and he said, "Now, if you be the Christ, what is it that we believe? Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So if you be the Christ, why don't you save yourself and us? But the other thief said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation?" What's he saying? He's saying this man is God. This is no ordinary man. This man's God. We're in the same condemnation as God. And we justly, we indeed justly, we're getting just exactly what we deserve. You're getting what you deserve, and I'm getting what I deserve. But this man, this God-man, he's done nothing amiss. He's never sinned. He's never offended God. He's a perfect man. This man had done nothing amiss. He's innocent. There's just one innocent man, that's Christ. He said, "Lord," he called him Lord. He called him Lord, God. "You're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom." That's what this man said. Who taught him that? God did. "You're coming into a kingdom. Would you remember me? Would you have mercy on me? Would you think on me?" And our Lord turned and said, this day, you'll be with me in glory." Now, come on. That's all in the world I want. I want this fella to be in glory, don't you? Huh? Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we're looking in here? I'm not trying to impress anybody, get along with anybody. I just want to be in glory. And this is the way. Was this thief saved? Well, Christ said he was. Well, he didn't work. He didn't give any money. He wasn't baptized. He didn't do any of those things. He believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'll tell you this. Everybody in glory is going to be there the same way. Christ said, "I'm the way." We're going to believe. One of the old writers wrote a hymn. He says, "I'll go to Jesus, though my sin hath like a mountain rose. I know his courts I'll enter in, whatever may oppose, because prostrate I'll lie before his throne, and there my guilt confess. I'll tell him I'm a thief undone without his sovereign grace. I can but perish if I go." I'm perishing anyway. "I can but perish if I go. I'm resolved to try. For if I stay away from Christ, I must forever die." But listen to this verse. "But if I die, having mercy, mercy sought, when I the king have tried, that were to die." What a thought. As a sinner, never die. Isn't that right? You can't perish looking to Christ. You can perish looking to the water. You can perish looking to your faith. You can perish looking to your friends. You can perish looking to the preacher. You can perish looking to all these. But you can't perish looking to Him.